The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey there, friends, and welcome to our program today, Afternoons with Mike, heard across The Shepherd Radio Network. In the studio with me today is my good friend, Doug Prusak. Doug, welcome back, my man.
Thanks for having me back. Always a blessing.
Wow, it's so great to have you here. Doug is with, you're the last time you've had a couple of titles since you've worked with Christian Help. But I know that you were the director of leadership development, I believe, was the last title that I remember. Is that still correct? You're on that ladder of success, my man.
I'm the director of development and communications.
Ah, development and communications. Doug has a background in broadcasting, and that goes way back to even working for CNN up in the Atlanta area. And you've worked in Orlando as well.
I've worked for CNN and for Fox. I've worked in Atlanta, Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., and Miami.
All in broadcasting and
in television.
Oh, man, you got major market experience going on here. Now, this is awesome. So it's great to have my friend Doug here. And you add that heavyweight punch of experience, and your legacy is great, and now you're helping us, so that's awesome. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is Giving Tuesday, and you work in the area, as you just mentioned there, Christian Help. You work for one of the most busy, one of the most well-known. There are a lot of great agencies, and I know you know them, and you guys all work together very well. This has to go down as one of the most unusual years for everybody, but it has to be that way for a 501c3 organization like you. It has to be the most unusual, perhaps trying year ever.
It absolutely has. I mean, we have experienced things this year, and the background story to this is my first year in development. So I've done communications, journalism all my life, storytelling, and, you know, covered some fascinating things, but in the 501c3 world, this year changed so much for us. There are so many people who were suddenly impacted by what was going on with when COVID started. Nobody really knew how to react. It affected, you know, we had to reassess all our procedures as to how we dealt with the public, but it also impacted how we communicated and how we fundraise and the things that we were doing in the past, like holding events and getting to know people and meeting people one-on-one, weren't happening. So I was blessed this year in that I got to tap into my journalism skills and really focus on communicating through messaging, through storytelling. And what we were doing was, you drive by our facility every day and you see a line around the building of folks waiting for food. Every person in that line has a story. Not everybody gets to tell it. And what we tried to do this year is to really highlight the folks we were serving, the folks that our donors enabled us to serve. And there were so many people in those lines. I mean, they had, you know, attorneys. I mean, these are, you know, you would see Mercedes in our parking lot and think, what's going on here? Their lives were just as thrown into a state of upheaval as anybody else. So it's not just the hourly workers that were impacted by this. People suddenly lost their jobs and they were turning to us in droves. We set records this year for people that we served in our pantry. We set records for people who got jobs through our job fairs and our jobs programs. The demand has been greater than ever and more different, more diverse. It's not just, you know, the folks you might see, you know, the lower hourly wage folks. We saw some high-end folks come to us as well that just didn't know how to respond to the new economy, to the new job search market. And that is what we've really focused on this year, is getting people back to work, empowering family independence, and helping people turn the corner through all of this.
You know, I can only imagine what it's going to be like, Doug, in California in the next couple of months. Because what you're talking about, you mentioned people that had high-end jobs suddenly being displaced or furloughed or completely laid off. That happened a lot, too. And so what happens is that these people still have their obligations. Some of them are driving, as you said, Mercedes and other high-end cars, and they're making payments perhaps on that at a very nice salary, which has now either been cut in half or ended altogether. And so here's a question that often comes with those things in mind, that I just wonder if you found, from working in your past in secular broadcasting, which you did, and now I'm going to ask you a question that would have to do with, I think, a question that might help a lot of us, like me, maybe will help me. The attitudes that people have in their minds about homeless people, and has that attitude, has that knowledge that you have now about people who are in the line at Christian Help, did it change from when you were in, let's say, Atlanta to now when you're working for Christian Help? Did you find that you have a different viewpoint?
I think, I don't know that I had a different viewpoint. I think a different level of awareness.
Okay.
I think I've always had a heart. The people on the street corners have always broken my heart. That stuff has always had an impact on me. I think being in the environment that I'm in, I'm aware now more than ever of how they might have wound up there. How life events can happen so suddenly and things change on a dime. And you know, I don't want to pass judgment on the folks who pull into our lot in a Mercedes and need a hand. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do. Something happened in their life that changed their life course.
Uh-huh.
And I come back to the Hillsong lyric, you know, break my heart for what breaks his. And you don't want to see anybody suffer. You don't want to see anybody struggle. You don't want to see anybody without work. You don't want to see anybody facing a challenge that way. And what I learned in all of this, and what has really hit me the hardest this year, is it can happen to anyone.
It can. And it has. It's
not just, you know, we hear about all the folks down at Disney that are getting laid off. And I know a lot of folks who work down there. And I hear the stories. You know, some of these guys are in my golf group, and they're like, oh, we don't know what's coming. I don't know. It's going to be January, March. We don't know what this is going to be. Is a vaccine going to turn it around? Are all these things? There's so much information swirling out there, but you can't even get to that point to process it because you're in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your job. All of a sudden, you're scrambling to keep the roof over your head, and whatever car is in the driveway, whether it's a Mercedes or, you know, a lower end economy car, doesn't matter. You've still got those payments. All of a sudden you don't have a way to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And people are turning to us to get food, to get job search counseling, to take the edge off of what they're going through. The food may not be the be all and end all, but it helps them pay a bill.
Mm-hmm.
It helps them pay their electric bill or their phone or their cell phone bill, whatever it takes. And they're scrambling. So they're living in the moment. They don't have time to think about down the road.
I think the real point that, and I'm glad to hear you answer that. I think it's awesome that that was your perspective even before. I think a lot of us, a lot of people, and I have to include me to some degree in that. I've helped so many people before personally. As a pastor, I would be the one often at the churches that I serve that would interview and approve help from the church to people who were in need. Up in Gainesville, for a long time, we had a food pantry up there. We doled out food as we could to people who were in need. And I caught on, oftentimes there are people who misuse this benevolence. They are pros, if you will, and they're working the system, so to speak. And I found that kind of reality can jade people's hearts and make us feel less willing to help somebody that we see. And there are times that I think that's just so sad. I think that we need to realize that what you said earlier is true, that every one of those people standing in that line, they have a story. And I'm being touched by this. I just want to be transparent enough to say that I feel at times that I'm convicted by my own lack of willingness to hear that story, my own maybe lack of patience and lack of tolerance. And I think there's a lot of us that might be in that way that we just need to say, God, help me. I know that we don't check our brains at the door and just, you know, give away everything, but there's a lot of room in between that and doing something.
There absolutely is. And at Christian Help, it's our mission not to be the Band-Aid on these people's lives. We want to do the surgery. Okay. Why are you with us? We want to help you get back on your feet, make your life better, empower you, empower your family. That is our goal. We recognize that there are, you know, there are folks who come in and they want the food and they come in and they do their visits and they carry on. And that's part of it. But our mission isn't to just the status quo,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the status quo could be a huge drop off for somebody. They want to get back on their feet, but they don't know how to do it. And what this year has done is to take the traditional job search environment, throw it in a blender. I mean, the way that companies are hiring now, the economic reset, the rebound, the whatever you want to call it, companies are looking differently at the positions they have. What we're doing at Christian Help is helping our clients get ready to fill the positions that are available, not necessarily the ones that were there before. And I keep using this as an example, but if you work behind the desk at a hotel, the reception desk, say mm-hmm. you've got great customer service skills, you've been doing it forever, but the hotel industry took a hit.
Oh, big hit.
People aren't traveling, so maybe you're laid off. Now it's a skills-based job search, not how many shingles you have on your wall. It doesn't matter that you have an MBA in XYZ. What skills do you have that may not be that desk behind the concierge desk, but how does that customer service experience translate into a different position? So what we're doing is working with clients to assess what their skills are
mm-hmm.
and work with them accordingly.
And that's the difference of what you're talking about, a Band-Aid versus surgery. Mm-hmm. And this is the old adage of teaching the guy how to fish rather than giving him a single fish meal.
Absolutely. And what it does is we walk with clients as soon as they come in the door, we walk with them right up until they get hired. So it's not, you don't just come in and get a resume critique and, you know, an hour later, thanks for coming. We have clients that we work with weekly that we're doing virtual Zoom calls with, resume assessments, job search coaching, how to look for jobs in certain places, or what are you after? Elevator pitches, interview skills. So we take them from the beginning. It's a comprehensive approach. We take them from the beginning. Hey, nice to meet you. Let's have a look at your resume. Maybe we tweak that up a bit. Now, what do you do with the resume? Now, what do you do when you get the phone call? Now, what do you do when you get the Zoom interview? Because it mm-hmm. may not be an in-person interview anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stages to it. And we walk with them all the way through the process.
Now, what's the difference for people who would be maybe homeless to the point where they don't even have the access to a Zoom call? How would they do that?
That's the challenging point. That's a different challenge than what we normally see.
Okay.
Normally in a situation like that, we're just trying to get them stable.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to provide every resource that they need to get them stable, but we'll connect them with somebody who will.
So it's not a one size fit all type of approach then.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
If you want to get into it, it's custom made.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We have a system and a program that we use to walk clients through the job search, but we tailor it to them as they go. So no two job searches are alike. No two people are alike.
Mm-hmm.
No two goals are alike. We work with them to assess who they are and what they want and take them through that process. Now, when you get into someone who has the additional lack of resources on their own, maybe they're homeless or they don't have transportation, we're not a housing and transportation-based ministry. We're about jobs and about food. But we will get them connected to people who can at least temporarily stabilize their situation, and to the point where then they can start thinking, okay, now I need to find some work.
Now, that's where it's a real advantage to have good relationships, as you do at Christian Help, with the other agencies in the Central Florida area that really do that kind of thing as well.
Absolutely.
And I know you have a good working relationship with them.
Absolutely. You know, we do. We look to other agencies for things like that. We're not trying to be everything to everybody. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a mission. We think our mission is unique and special and God-given and Christ-centered. And that's the lane God has asked us to fill.
Mm.
But the partnerships that we have with other agencies in the area, you know, it's wide-reaching. I mean, if we can't do what you need, we'll help you get mm-hmm. there.
Do you guys have ongoing, let's say, collaborative talks with people outside of even Florida that would be good, like ears to bounce things off of when you're in this kind of a work that you're doing? Agencies?
We talk to other agencies. We talk to other ministries that do similar programs. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say out of state as much. We have a very strong relationship base here mm-hmm. in Central Florida. We do a lot of work with the Edith Bush Institute over at Rollins. They're great supporters of ours. Very, very helpful to us. There's a lot of folks who are influential. But it's very Central Florida based mm-hmm. because okay. what we're seeing is in different areas, there are different challenges.
Are you seeing an uptick in people's success since we went to phase 3, which was over a month ago now, when that happened? And the rest of the country right now, in many areas, it seems to be going back down into almost lockdownville. But in Central Florida, here in Florida in general, we're still open for business, so to speak. So are things getting any better? Are you seeing some of the people that you're working with actually be placed?
Well, yes, absolutely. I don't have November stats yet because, you know, it's December 1st, but I can tell you in October that 417 people that we interacted with got work.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Whether it was through our Central Florida Employment Council job fairs, our on-site job coaching that we do virtually with our care managers, 417 people got back on their feet in October through our programs. I would say the need is greater
mm-hmm.
and the response is greater. I think what's happening as we get into the stage 3 is businesses are figuring out what their new world looks like.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the new normal.
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be a normal.
I don't think so either.
What they're figured out, they took the time to assess, okay, my business plan has shifted. I don't need this anymore, but I do need this. So I think what's happening is businesses are figuring out what they're going to need to reach into 2021 and beyond, and how COVID has shifted their business plan. So now they can go out and get the people to fill those slots. And I think what's happening is I'm not going to say rounding a curve because I don't think any of us know where the curve is. I think we're on a straightaway and we'll get to a curve at some point. But what I think is happening is there is a shift in business plans. Therefore, there's a shift in hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is to get the people who are looking for work in front of the companies and match the skill sets.
Mm. That's great. My guest today is Doug Prusak from Christian Help, and that is a wonderful organization in Central Florida that really reaches out to people both with the immediate need for food, but also beyond that, and very importantly, helping to equip them to prepare for their job search, to position them to find the best lane in which they can find work, and thereby giving them a grasp on the future. So we will be back with Doug coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. I have in the studio today Doug Prusak, and Doug is the leader, one of the leaders at this wonderful ministry called Christian Help. He is the director of development, and he handles their communication needs, and just a very experienced man in all things broadcasting, all things journalism. It's so great to have Doug on my show from time to time, as he is a regular here on the Shepherd. And, you know, today's a very special day for not only Christian Help, but I'm sure that people's inboxes, if people haven't already caught on to the fact that the first Tuesday or the first day in, I guess it's the first Tuesday in December, is what's called Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday following Black Friday. So we have Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. So the giving part is third in that pecking order, and that doesn't seem right.
But, no, it doesn't seem right, but
it seems like priorities might have gotten a little bit out of whack on that one. But Giving Tuesday is a day that a lot of great organizations like Christian Help around the country really do see a boost in people who are opening up their hearts and their pocketbooks and giving into your organization.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that. I always did wonder why we had Black Friday after Thanksgiving. That never made sense to me. But, you know, it is what it is. Marketing is what it is. Giving Tuesday, and it's today. And yeah, Christian Help, we're doing a special Giving Tuesday program this year called 29 for 29. And what we're asking is that donors and supporters give $29 to celebrate our 29th year of serving Central Florida.
Mm.
And it's unique in that we really haven't taken this approach before, but you know, I'm a sports junkie. So I had 30 for 30 rattling around in my head with the ESPN program. And it was like, why not do 29 for 29? And when you think about it, $29 will provide a family approximately 75 pounds of food, which is basically a month's worth of food. And it's only $29. That's if you were to skip your Dunkin' drive-thru every day, $5 a day at the end of the week, you've fed a family for a month. Or if you're Christmas shopping and maybe there's one extra gift, maybe you can bless a family mm-hmm. for a month with some groceries. And just the idea that 50 million Americans, 1 in 7 Americans, will face hunger within the next few months,
mm-hmm.
will face a lack of food, not just food insecurity, but a lack of food. 1 in 7 Americans. And what we're trying to do is, and it's only part of what we do as a ministry, but what we're trying to do is feed families, feed children, help parents get back to work, and just build our economy back. We were talking in the first segment about the level 3 that we're at. And how do families participate in the economy if they're not working, if they can't eat? That's the first step back.
You know, it's so true that when you think about a person who lost their job, it affects them and their ability to eat, but it's so much more than that. So many of them do have families, and that means we are talking about a child going to bed at night right here in our country. I think when we think missions, missionaries, third world countries, that we get very easily in our brain that a child's going to go to bed hungry at nighttime. But America and in families that just a couple of months ago were gainfully employed and had a complete solid job and now no more.
Absolutely. And trying to remember the stat, I believe it is 17 million families in this country go to bed hungry.
Mm.
And what we're trying to do, and we're not going to solve the issue sitting here in a radio interview, and I'm not going to solve it sitting at my desk, but there are a lot of those families in Central Florida. And what we're trying to do is to bless them. And we're celebrating our 29th year of doing that. And what we're just hoping is that folks will come alongside us and just do 29 for 29.
Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't a huge number, but the impact it will have is enormous because it'll feed a family for a month.
Go ahead and give us right now that address.
ChristianHelp.org/GivingTuesday. It's all right there. Again, ChristianHelp.org/GivingTuesday.
Mm-hmm. Now, the program of feeding these families, when you look at this, is there, do you guys see the a huge jump as Christmas comes along, or is it pretty much this way all year long for you guys? Has this need been about the same as it's been ever since this pandemic began?
Well, we rewrote the record books this year. Month over month, we set records for families fed. We are still seeing a steady stream of families. We're still serving, I'm going to guess, 100 families a day out of our pantry.
Hmm.
And when I get to work, I get to work about 8 o'clock in the morning. We have our offices are over on Seminola Boulevard in Castleberry. Small building, but there's a line around the building of folks waiting to get food.
What time do they get there?
Well, I usually show up for work between, I'd say, 8:15, 8:30. Some of them have been in line for 45 minutes.
Okay.
And they're there early, and they're in need. They're desperate for help. And we're the first place they turn to. So I know that motivates me when I pull in there every morning and I see these families that need food. It motivates me for my job.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart to see folks sitting outside. Sometimes there's little kids with parents just waiting to get a box of food. And that hits me hard and fuels my fire to do what I do, to raise awareness and raise money. Mm-hmm. To feed these people. And it's a powerful visual. And I invite anyone who wants to drive by, take a look at what's going on in our parking lot on a daily basis. It may not be on the scale of what you saw in Dallas over the weekend, where there were lines of cars 5 wide and half a mile deep waiting for groceries.
Mm.
But we're making an impact in the community, and our donor support is, I can never communicate enough what their generosity does for these people and how it helps people get back on their feet, stave off disaster, feed children, get them on the path back, and do it with dignity.
Mm.
One of the biggest things out of all of this is you see so many people in these lines and they're talking to us and they just need help. And it's not a matter of giving them a box and sending them on their way. We try to love on them. We try to treat them as God's children, because we all are, no matter what our circumstances are. And I think, at least my heart anyway, is that these people are God's children. They deserve a hand. It's biblical to reach out and help these people.
Mm-hmm.
We're told, to those who have, to those who have not, how many different times in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to live it. And I wish I could just put up a live stream camera of what goes on in our building so that everybody could see it. The good, the bad, the blessings and the ugly, and just to have donors and have the community see what a difference they make in these people's lives.
It blesses my heart, Doug, to see you be impacted, even this moment, emotionally impacted. I am as well. And I remember a time that I think that kind of thing happened to me that you're describing. I was in Haiti. This is years ago, and we're feeding people that had not been, they'd been in an area where there had not been rain for 3 years. So it was a huge drought. And this was one of the poorest of the poor villages that I've ever seen. And we were doing a documentary and I'm holding the camera and I'm looking through the lens at these sites and people are lame. It was so sad. I've just never seen people who had no care but they're there and they're grateful and they're hungry. But a voice, a little girl's voice, started ringing in our ears. The person that was with me kind of helping me, and I'm holding the camera, and I started panning the crowd until I could find that voice, and I found it. And we slowly walked over, and there was a little girl that was just sitting all by herself in the middle of this clamor. And she's crying, and she's got tears rolling down her face as I'm just taping her right there. Audio, the videotape is going, I'm taping, and the oddest, most amazing thing happened in my viewfinder. Suddenly, as I'm looking at this little girl, my own little girl, which we had one almost the same age, I saw her face instead of this child's face.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her face crying, and I was so overwhelmed emotionally. I had to shut the camera off, and I didn't know it, but the guy that was with me that was helping me, he too was breaking down, and we both just walked over to a vehicle, hung our heads, and for about 5 minutes, we just wept. And I think that kind of breaking is what we need in our hearts. This is what moves the Lord. You know, I heard a song years ago that kind of pointed at the fact that what moved Jesus was people. What moved, you know, storms did not move Jesus. Jesus was not afraid of waves rocking in a boat. He was asleep. But what moved Jesus? He would look upon the crowds, the Bible says, and he was moved with compassion. We need that.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, I'm a news junkie, okay? I still have the news on every once in a while. It's about all I still watch. But you see the stories around the country, Los Angeles and Dallas and Atlanta over Thanksgiving. And and the level of need that people face, and right here in our community as well. I mean, it's happening all over the country. And what my heart is to do is to just raise awareness that one in seven of us Americans will go hungry. I heard that stat a couple of weeks ago, and it stopped me short. How do you not help your fellow American? It doesn't matter what party. I don't care if it's red, blue, or you're in the middle in the purple category, whatever. They're Americans. This is beyond politics. This is beyond, you know, right and wrong. This is what we're called to do, is to take care of our brothers and sisters. And that stat shook me. The lines in front of the Dallas food pantry, the video of that, you know, every picture tells a story, video, you know, tells a million.
Mm-hmm.
And every car in that line was there for a different, because of different circumstances, but they were all there for the same reason. They needed food.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see what's going on at Christian Help and the way that God has moved in our ministry and the way that he has opened doors for us to be the hands and feet, to bless these people. And now we're coming up on Christmas. So not only are we trying to help feed families, get parents back to work, now we've got to give kids Christmas. And these families aren't even thinking about it. 12/25 is another day on the calendar to them. They're thinking, how can I, you know, maybe get through this and minimize the impact. And what we're trying to do this year is, we do it every year. This year it's called a Christmas blessing. And last year it was a Christmas extravaganza, and that just really didn't feel right. This year we're doing things oddly in a similar way to what we did last year, because it'll end up being socially distanced. Everything will end up being fairly close to what we did last year. But what we're trying to do is, these families who have taken sudden hits, who have dealt with COVID or the impact of COVID, and our theme for this is kind of, there's no room for COVID in Christmas, but there's room for Christ.
Mm.
And what we're trying to do here is feed more families, give them all holiday meals, get the parents back on their feet, but also put presents under the tree for the kids. give them some Christmas that through the worst of this, they're blessed somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're aiming higher than ever this year because the demand is higher than ever. We want to serve more families. We want to give more kids Christmas. We want to feed more families. And we were talking about a fundraising goal for this, and I'm a dreamer. I was like, let's aim for $150,000.
Mm.
And we're trying to raise that much money this year because so many people need to get back to work. We're looking at how we're working with them. We're expanding. We're changing our processes to meet this demand. And during the season of giving, we're also having a Christmas blessing. So we're just trying to take the edge off for families in a way that they might not be able to do. But again, do it with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make them feel like they're getting a handout. Make them feel like they're getting blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Make them feel like the community is rallying around them at a time when they desperately need it.
Talk about that for just a moment, the dignity aspect, because that's something I remember in my very first interview with Christian Help. That was and is a goal that you have, to maintain dignity for your clients that you work with.
Absolutely. And again, you know, we're all God's children. Okay. We're all put in each other's path for a reason. And we believe that we are there to walk with families through the process of, okay, you're coming to us and you need help. If you come in for not come in, well, we do it virtually now, but for a job assessment, you know, first meeting, do you need food? Okay, cool. We can help you out here as well. Don't be shy. We don't herd them in and out. This isn't like, okay, you know, you get 20 people on the shuttle and then there's 20 more people that go, and we don't just keep moving them along. We're walking with them. We're getting to know them as best we can, as mm-hmm. best as they want to. We're offering them job search assistance. And again, it's a journey. And we had great story. Last month, we had a client come back to us. 5 years ago, he was with us. Got walked through the process, found a great job. He knew it was going to be for 5 years. It was a grant-funded operation. Mm-hmm. He came back to us earlier this year and said, I know this is running out. You helped me before. Can you help me again? And we did. Took him right back through the process, updated his resume, did all of that, got him back in the workforce again. So he has another position to go to. So the impact in the way that we deal with people, they come back. They're aware of us. It's not a rubber stamp. You're a number. Here's your box of food. Move along. It's the opposite of that. We try to love on them. We're always there to pray with them if they want that. Always available to do that. Everybody on staff is ready to jump at that chance. We're always ready to hook them up with food. And it's not leftovers. It's not scraps or whatever. It's fresh. It's fresh food,
mm-hmm.
and it's quality food. It's food you would feed your family. And you wouldn't be ashamed of that. But what we try to do is treat them with respect and love and dignity. They're in a place in their life when they need help and hope, and that's what we're trying to give to them.
Well, it's an honorable and a beautiful thing that you're doing, and I so appreciate that. We've got the big plan for your theme for the year to talk about in our next segment. And go ahead, Doug, if you would, give us that address one more time about people that can either give toward the $29 or also for this need of raising for the Christmas as well. Go ahead and give the address.
Absolutely. Everything you need is at christianhelp.org. Again, that's christianhelp.org.
No hyphen, just all straight through.
It'll take you right to the landing page for Christmas.
Okay. ChristianHelp.org. Doug Prusak is my guest, and we'll be back with Doug coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Thank you so much for joining us on this Giving Tuesday. Organizations around the world, really, around certainly around our country, are taking advantage. And it's just something that everyone's inboxes, I'm sure. Yeah, they're being invaded today by opportunities to give. And there are no small numbers of needs around our country right now. And we've got Doug Prusak as our guest on the program today. He is the Director of Development, also of Communications at The Christian Help. And you're located in Castleberry. There are some really great organizations in Castleberry. I mean, that's the place where my home church is. That is also where Andy Searles, I'm sure you know Andy. He's,
yep. Andy's my pastor.
Hello. I forgot that
church,
for a moment.
Church together.
I forgot that for, honestly, I had forgotten that for a moment. But yeah, Andy's a dear friend and a great guy. And my goodness, what a giving guy he is as well. Of course, he's a part of the Better Man event, which was affected and yet just kind of rose up and reinvented themselves this year. And, you know, this is something that this Giving Tuesday is helping you guys do, because in a real way, every organization that helps people has had to do that. You've had to kind of tweak your operating plan and the way you operate. You mentioned that a lot of your meetings that you do now are virtual as opposed to a face-to-face. And that's got to present a lot of challenges for you.
It absolutely does. It was when COVID first really started emerging, I don't think we knew what to expect and how to handle it. We knew it was bad, but we didn't know how to combat it. What we did as a ministry was to reassess all our procedures. So our campus is socially distanced. Everybody wears masks. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. We meet with job search clients. We don't do it in person anymore. We do it virtually. Zoom is an effective tool. Skype is an effective tool. And I know that people are getting, you know, zoomed out, but it is what it is. It's helping people get back to work.
Wouldn't you like to have been one of the first investors in Zoom?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding?
My goodness.
Had I known a year ago what I know now? Yeah.
Oh, my word.
It's everything. We had to revisit everything we did, from how we handled clients to candidly how I handle communications and development. My normal routine went out the window. I started relying also heavily on Zoom and a lot of digital communication. And you just, it opened doors for opportunities to reassess how you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot this year about meeting people and how to communicate with people and the effectiveness of stories. And I know that we've discussed this before, but it's kind of the anti-McDonald's model. Remember when you drove by McDonald's years ago and they would say 99 billion served?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point anymore. People want to see a face of whom they've impacted. They want to hear Carlos's story.
Mm-hmm.
How did he come to Christian Help? What was his path back? They want to hear those stories. You can cite the numbers afterward. He's one of, you know, X number of people served. But to put a face on it is so important. And this year, that was our method of communication. And candidly, it's going to be our method going forward, is the stories of the people you've impacted, the stories that our donors have told or enabled to be told.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you're a storyteller yourself. You love communicating via this parable type of mode of communication. And that's what the Lord did with the parables. It's an amazing gift, I believe, to be able to take a person's story. And it's not for bad purposes. It's not for manipulation in any way at all. But the truth of it is that most people, whether they're a good storyteller themselves, most people enjoy and really are touched in their heart when they do hear a heartwarming story. It happens.
Absolutely. And I don't think I'll rise to the parables level.
yeah, but none of us are going to be in that boat.
But I'll do my best. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, and I come from a journalism background, so storytelling is inherent. Okay, you see the players on the field, you see the, you know, they're doing what they're doing, but there's a story in their life. And the older I got and the more sports I watched, I found I wasn't rooting for the jersey as much as some of the players in it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because of their backstory. And I'll sum it up super quick. The Patriots, my beloved Patriots, lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a sports fan, sure, I'm from Boston, I was bummed. But I heard the weeks later about some of the stories of the players on the Eagles and the fact that they had Bible studies that like half the team attended. And you realize that, okay, it, you know, that was a game, but they may wear a different color sweater, but they get it. And you find yourself rooting for stories rather than jerseys.
You know, I think that's one reason that Tim Tebow is such a favorite, because people love what he does, and he seems much more interested in helping people than he does making the buck. And there's so many athletes, I tell you what, there was an athlete in Orlando that had made a statement that I've just never, ever forgotten. I won't mention his name, but he made this statement in a news conference. He said, "I just want to be treated like any other superstar." And I thought, wow. You know, he needs to hear that verse in the Bible that says, "Let another mouth praise you and not your own."
Exactly. Exactly. It's a long time ago. I was working in Boston, as a quick story. And around Christmas time every year, the Bruins would go out and do some work in the community. And we'd go out to the event to shoot some of it. And one of them came up to me and said, "Shut your camera off." They didn't want this story told. They didn't. They just wanted to do it for the sake of doing it. And I didn't get it at the time, but I thought about it later on. And they just want to be in the background and showing up places and spreading what joy that they can spread.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it now. And it's not a matter of, to me, the glory. It's a matter of, to God, the glory. And you know, at Christian Help, it's the same thing. We're serving. We're not here to be praised. I don't want to be praised for what we do. It's our mission. It's what God has given us to do. And when these families get back on track, to God the glory for that.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Doug Prusak from Christian Help. Doug, when you think back, and even over the past several years of your life, with a story in mind, what do you think of as maybe the story that really motivated you or motivates you still to this day? What one particular story really touches your mind?
Wow. There are so many. I honestly don't. I think the stories kind of stockpile in my mind. It's kind of like a mental filing cabinet. I remember so many of them, but the one that I think motivates me the most is the one that happens every day when I pull up to the building and I see the people in line, because those families are just as important as the ones who have already been served. And that's what lights my fire, is to feed them, to get them back on their feet. Because candidly, I've struggled. I was in a place 10 years ago. I wish I had known about Christian Help. I would have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about it. And I see those people and it's like, okay, I can see myself, to your point earlier, I can see myself in that line waiting on the other end of this whole equation. And I wish I had known about that. What motivates me is serving them.
Well, I love that answer, because that's an ongoing story that stays alive. It stays fresh. It's before you every day, and it gives you that motivation, as you mentioned earlier. This is a wonderful organization. Friends, if you are listening today on here on our radio live, or on Tuesday, perhaps you're listening on podcast and it's long past that day, it's still okay. You can still give. But especially today, if you're listening on Giving Tuesday, give us that address one more time.
ChristianHelp.org/Giving Tuesday.
And then you talked about the season of giving too, that is such a really great thing.
Yes, that website is christianhelp.org/seasonofgiving. And all the information you need is right there, and you're welcome to contact me if you need any further assistance.
Well, I tell you what, I would say let's go golfing, but as good as you are, I think you probably would not want to be on the links with me, my man. But
again, it's about fellowship.
It's about fellowship. I keep telling myself that because it's certainly not about my golf score. Doug Prusak from Christian Help, thank you for being here with me today. It's always great to have you here.
Always a blessing to be here. Thank you.
God bless you. And friends, thanks for being with me today. Hope to see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.